Good morning to you. How you doing? Are you well? Are you well? Well, I'm well. That's all that matters. No, it's not all that matters. I hope you're well. I'm well. I'm a good deal better. Sorry I missed you last week. I needed to take the week off. I was having a bit of difficulty with the old chest and lungs and breathing. And it just wouldn't go away. Been battling it for about 6 weeks since the turn of the new year. And you knew that from listening to the show through January and early February. And it just came to a head last week. And I needed to deal with it. So I'm dealing with it. Dealing with it. It's an ongoing thing. But there you are. Thanks anyway for being there. Thanks for being there this morning. It's Tuesday, the 18th of February. And this is the BBG, not the BBC. The worst live stream in YouTube history. Where we take a look through the UK newspapers. And analyse them as much as we can. Thanks for the comments there. I will read a few of them as we go along, because there's no rush, is there? There's no panic. We have all morning, if need be. And there you are. So thanks to those of you who sent nice tweets and stuff. It's very humbling, that. You know, I'm a big ignorant, baldy, gammon bollocks living in Salford. I'm hardly important. So it still surprises me. People tweeting me to say they missed the show, and that it means a lot to them, and they miss it when it's not there during the day, the radio show particularly. So that does mean a lot to me. And it isn't false modesty. I genuinely don't, it doesn't sit easy with me. I'm a very private guy, me. And when I see those comments, people saying that it really upsets them, the radio show's not on, it does touch me. So there you are. I don't know how I sounded when I said that there, but I mean it anyway. You know, it isn't false modesty. It's it just bewilders me sometimes that the show means that much to people. Anyway, well, we look at the front pages, will we? And we'll crack on then. Alrighty. What sort of a morning is it? Well, it's nice. It's a bit brighter when I get up. I'm a very early riser. And it was nice this morning. I left the house at 6:30 with two dogs in tow. They'll be calling me Two Dog Alan in Salford before too long. There's Two Dog. Waterford viewers of this will remember a man, I don't know if he's still alive, whom was referred to as Three Dog Keating. And he had a bit of a reputation for violence and whatnot. Three Dog Keating. So Two Dog Alan. But yeah, around about 6:45 this morning, it brightened considerably. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That also shoots down the flat earth theory. Don't even go there. Apparently when I was convalescing, Philip Schofield, who came out as gay, as if anybody cares, had some flat earth people on his mid-morning television show that he shares with a woman called Holly. Flat earth. I get a lot of flat earth people. In fact, some of my good friends, Nathan, and I say good friends, I mean, when I say good friends, I mean good friends, are very interested in flat earth. But I'm not even going to go there. We're just going to go straight to the front pages. I've left an open-ended invitation for one of the more prominent flat earth proponents in the UK to come on the radio show. But as of yet, it hasn't been taken up, so we'll see. Here's the Financial Times. Britain will never allow oversight of laws, Brexit chief tells Brussels. The Brexit negotiator these days, you have to check every few days, you see, is a guy called David Frost. And red lines are being drawn. You know, Frost is saying, whatever trade deal we do won't include any provision that sees the UK taking direction from Brussels on any types of standards in the future. And David Frost, either yesterday or today, I don't know, because this morning was the first morning I read a newspaper in over a week, 10 days. Frost has given some speech where he's saying, this is what we expect in the negotiations. Yeah. Is that a picture of David Frost there? I can't see without my bins. I haven't a clue. I still can't see. So that's the Financial Times. Let's get rid of that one. The Telegraph then. Some interesting stuff in the Telegraph today. Brexit can benefit all of Europe, says trade chief. There's going to be a bit of this now. This is the year. Allegedly, we left the European Union. Allegedly, on January 31st. And now, we're in a transition period until New Year's Eve this year. Until the BPG turns 46. New Year's Eve is my birthday. And we stay in alignment with them. We basically stay in until December 31st. And between now and then, both sides are supposed to come to a trading arrangement. The European Union wants access to UK fishing waters. The European Union wants free movement to remain. The European Union wants this and that and the other. And the UK is allegedly going to stand up to it and face them down. I'm not so sure. We'll see as time goes on. That's in the Telegraph today. Metro, racist weirdo quits number 10 job. Why weirdo? Well, Dominic Cummings is not the weirdo that's quit number 10. We've heard a lot about Dominic Cummings, who's a very close advisor to Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. Cummings is supposed to be on the far, not the far right, but on the right of conservatism in this country. And Cummings said after Johnson won his pretty sizable majority at the election back in December, Cummings said that he wanted to attract misfits, I think. I'm thinking off the top of my head now. Misfits and weirdos to government. Aides and advisors. He wanted misfits and weirdos. Well, one of those who was appointed is a bit of a racist. I hear you're a racist now. And I'm very quick usually to defend people who have been accused of racism. And that annoys some of my more minority viewers. It annoys them sometimes. And they say, ah, Richie, you're always giving a pass to these people. Well, I'm not going to give a pass to this fella. I don't mind telling you. This fella might be a fucking bona fide racist. But then, he might also be typical of the type of person that Boris Johnson would have grown up with and would surround himself with. And Dominic Cummings. I believe there's a certain class of entitled... No, I'm not going to swear today. I'm not going to swear. Public school educated, wealthy backgrounds, entitled, privileged arseholes. And I don't envy their privilege. And I wouldn't deny them their success. They don't owe me anything. But I think amongst that group of people, they see themselves as an elite of sorts. They believe they are better than everybody else. They really do believe that. And this guy has been talking about eugenics and race. And there's a story in the Times today. They've all gone with it. All the newspapers have gone with it. This is the guy here. His name is Andrew Sabisky. And as you can see there, he was hired as part of Dominic Cummings' drive for weirdos and misfits. He resigned last night. There's a lot of annoyance around the fact that he wasn't fired, that he seems to have left on his own terms. Get to the point, Baldy. I hear you cry. What did he do? What did he say? Well, I'll tell you now. He was hired last week on a short-term contract, and apparently at the time he was hired, there was some unease expressed about some of the things that he has said in the past around race, eugenics, and women's sport. This guy will have a pot shot at anything, apparently. What did he say? What did he do? Let's bring it up. He said, Well, if you can see some of that there. Told you it's the worst live stream in history. We don't say that to be self-deprecating. We don't say that to be modest or to be humble. It is shit. It is. And you can see it in front of your eyes how shit it is. So here's the second page of this story in the Times. And it's here that you'll see what this guy has said. He argued that black Americans' IQs are on average lower than that of white Americans. In the range of IQ 75 or below. At which point he says we are close to the boundary for mild mental retardation. He said that Britain would be majority Muslim in 30 years. He might be right. Don't see anything racist about that. That's a possibility. Let's be honest about it. But it's the IQ stuff and the eugenics stuff that has caused a bit of controversy. The racist stuff. Suggesting that black Americans less intelligent than whites, if he believes it, is racist. There's no evidence to support it. I had this argument out with David Duke. You might remember some years ago, Duke didn't do too well. Because there are no statistics that bear out this crap. It's just crap, right? I have one or two racist listeners, viewers and followers. Good morning. You're welcome. I don't condemn you because you're racist. I have no problem. People can be what people want to be. But, yeah. He gave an interview to Schools Week in 2016. He said eugenics are about selecting four good things. Intelligence is inherited and correlates with better outcomes, physical health, income, lower mental illness, and so on, so on, so on. Been a number of black MPs on British breakfast television this morning. Kwasi Kwarteng, who's a Tory business minister, was aghast that this guy was hired in the first place. Yeah. If you believe that blacks or Hispanics or people from the Far East are on average sicker than the rest of us, that's tending towards racism, I believe. And I've never been one to cast any stones at people and, you know, to be calling people racist just for the hell of it. No. If he believes that, he's a racist, I suppose. That's the Metro. I'm sure you'll have a different point of view. And that's good. It's healthy. We can see things a bit differently. So that's the Telegraph there. We'll leave that one alone. We've done the Metro. Here's the Guardian. New advisor to number 10 resigns over race and intelligence controversy. Okay. The Times. Johnson at odds with Cummings over BBC. Now this is about the Conservative Party and its plans for the BBC compulsory television licence. Won't bore you with this because you know all about it. If you have a television in the UK and you watch BBC TV, I think even if you've got a television these days, you're supposed to have a licence. And the money goes to the BBC. It's the national the state broadcaster. And there's been some talk, there's been quite a bit of talk actually, Nicky Morgan, the Culture Secretary, who isn't an MP anymore, Baroness Morgan, Johnson, Cummings, have basically said we have to look at whether it should be, whether or not having a licence should be decriminalised. Because at the moment you can be fined for not having a TV licence. Non-payment of that fine might see you banged up in, well, in the clink. And they've said they'll have a look at this. Much to the amusement of onlookers like me and you. So according to the Times today, we've got the story, there is a bit of a disagreement at number 10. And in the government. But some MPs are saying, it's not looking good, this vendetta with the BBC. You have to remember, the Conservative Party, at least before I was unwell last week, have refused to put spokesmen and women on the flagship Today programme on BBC Radio 4 over allegations of bias. This has been rumbling on for ages. Will the BBC, will this ultimately result in the decriminalisation of non-payment of the licence fee? I don't know. I've never had a licence. Not here, not in Ireland. For I have a very strong moral objection to being told that I must pay for the BBC. Why should I? Why should anybody pay for the BBC? For an institution to tell you what to think, what not to think, what's right and what's wrong. No thanks. I can figure that out by myself. Thank you very much. Very good piece in the Telegraph about it today as well. About the bias. This is a balanced article, even though the headline would lead you to think otherwise. It's a pretty balanced article, if I can bring it up there. Oh, here we are. Written by Charles Moore, who writes many an opinion piece for the Telegraph. Some of them are a bit on the hysterical side. Some of them are right on. He's got a couple of pieces in the Telegraph the last few days. Very good. He says, let's bring up the second page. Does Moore. The bias is not chiefly partly political, though it's certainly anti-Tory. It is politico-cultural woke, pro-Remain, credulously green, anti-market, he alleges, obsessed with issues connected with diversity, yet itself not truly diverse at all, says Moore. The BBC excludes a vast range of people, views and activities which are important in the life of this country. If you'd watched only the Beeb back in 2016, it would have come as an almost total shock to you, the 17.4 million people voted to leave in the referendum, which they did. The bias led to blindness. It is not a good public service. I've studied the bias and how it operates for a long time, says Moore, and it will not reduce until the monopoly disappears. And he says the greatest single wrong thing on which the BBC rests is the licence fee itself, and he goes on to talk about why we should get rid of the licence fee. Okay. Good morning. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. Back with you, the BBG 5 o'clock radio show today. I think it's just me and you today for an hour and a half at 5. I'm not sure. I do have guests lined up for tomorrow and Thursday. Back to normal then. And I'm glad to be back. It's a boring thing to be sitting around, you know. Struggling to breathe. Not happy. Boring. I'm a grafter, me, you see. I've always been a grafter. No matter what I've done. Not showering myself with flowers here. Self-praise being no praise. A lot of things wrong with me. But I'm a grafter. I work like a madman. And when I'm not working, I'm not happy. So I'm glad to be back. Charles Moore there on the BBC licence fee. Listen to me. I've got to reiterate this. There are real world consequences for not paying the BBC licence fee. So I'm not fucking telling you what to do. Don't take me saying I don't pay it as an invitation not to pay it. No. No. I'm not responsible for you or what you do and what you don't do. Be aware that things have consequences. You know? Actions have consequences. Okay. Where were we anyway, be Jesus? The Mirror. National emergency. The flooding. Jesus wept. And it's only around the corner. They've had problems in Little Broughton and Salford. Christ. I won't dwell on this story about the flooding today. Storm Dennis, which followed Storm Kira. They called Storm Dennis a bomb cyclone, didn't they? Which exploded in the Atlantic, moving eastwards across Ireland and across the west of the UK and then the south and the southeast of the UK. Terrible damage. I wonder about these storms and whether or not they are natural occurrences. Oh, I wonder greatly. Because We have heard on the Richie Allen radio show, our radio show, haven't we? We have heard from academic men, not conspiracy theorists, academic men who said, yes, the ability to create monster storms artificially exists, and it has existed forever. So if it has existed forever, and the patents have been around forever, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that somebody is using the technology to cause this fucking carnage. Why? There are 1,000 reasons. We might get one of those reasons shortly. In fact, we will, because there's another good story in the Telegraph about it. About how in the future, homeowners don't have the right to expect any protection from their homes if they are near rivers or lakes or near the sea. That's handy, isn't it? Imagine if you wanted to get people away from beautiful areas, riverside properties and communities, near the sea, near lakes. Imagine you wanted to get people away from those areas. That's lovely, that, isn't it? Let's take away all protection and say, well, climate change is here. That's changed the whole game. Where are you getting that bullshit from, Richie? It's in the Telegraph today. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Here it is. Right? Climate change means homeowners should no longer expect protection from floods, the government to announce. Oh yeah. You're on your own. We're not going to do anything. What? What was that? We're not going to do anything to increase protection in your community. Why not? Climate change is going to mean that anything we do is not going to be good enough. The best thing you should do is fuck off out of your house. But I can't sell me house. Not now after you said that. I might have had some chance of selling me house until you said that the government no longer plans to protect houses like mine from flood damage. Got no chance selling the house now. And while they're doing that, as we know, they're also decommissioning towns. Coastal towns. Oh, some wacky people over the years came on the Richie Allen radio show. Wacky people. And said, the ultimate agenda is to get people off the land and into super cities. Get them away from the countryside and away from coastal areas and beauty areas and lake areas and riverside areas. Wacky people, huh? Wacky people. So do you know that Storm Dennis is created artificially? Of course not. It might be completely natural. What do I know? But I know the technology exists. I know the agenda is there. And on TV this morning, every second utterance is climate change. Climate change. Kay Burley, climate change. Climate change. Climate change. Not that they haven't dredged the fucking rivers. No. No. No talk of that. Because it isn't climate change. They haven't dredged for years. In some cases, decades. That's the answer. Dredge like a bastard. Dredge the bejesus out of those fucking riverbeds. Because you know this is going to happen. Right? But is anybody asking the question, why do they not dredge? Can't figure that out. So in the future, don't expect any help from the government. We're just going to abandon you. Because of climate change. Because there isn't anything we can do. Move out. But again, I can't sell my house. Nobody wants to buy it. Yeah. The Star, dream me up, Scotty. NASA to build nuke spaceship to hunt aliens. Let's leave that one alone. The Mail. What is the point of saving? This is a story which The Mail features this morning. And have I got it here? I've not really looked at it. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. Can I find it? Can I find it? No. But it's on bbc.co.uk. I've not read the story. Let's bring it up anyway, if I can. The Mail. The Daily Fail. National Savings and Investments is a saving bank and has cut its interest rates, meaning that savers are getting it in the arse, basically. They're not getting anything out of their savings. And the Mail is saying today that people are asking themselves, what is the point now in putting money into savings accounts in banks when you're not getting anything back? I'll tell you what the point is. But you'll think I'm talking through my sphincter. Now, I do talk through my sphincter quite a bit. We can agree on that. One of the benefits of not giving people any value for saving money in savings accounts is that you drive them to... So if you're a bank, right? So let's say we're a bank. The bank of the BBG. And you're saving your money with me. You're giving me your money to put into a savings account. And I'm cutting interest rates. I'm giving you fuck all in return for saving your money with me. Nothing worthwhile anyway. Okay? Your annual return on the savings with me is a pittance. But at the same time, because everybody is banking online now, I am bombarding you with offers to invest. To invest your money. In investment schemes. I get them. I bank with a well-known bank in the country. I might as well tell you who it is. It's the Halifax. You'll know this if you go on the Richie Allen website, because one of the ways to make a contribution to the radio show is to send some money to a bank account. Halifax. And every time, I don't go into my bank account very often, very rarely, maybe once a month, I log in and I get nothing for my fairly meagre savings. Nothing. In the savings account. Nothing from the Halifax. Nothing back. But I get offered all the time these investment opportunities. And to the credit of the Halifax, they pretty much tell you that some of them come with a fairly substantial risk of losing your money. Right? Not just a moderate risk, but a fair risk. But the returns could be pretty big, you know, BBG. So why don't you invest? And I tell them to fuck off. Fuck right off. That's what they're doing. There are a million schemes. The cabal, the hidden hand, the elite. Millions of schemes to fucking bankrupt you and me and leave us with nothing. And this is another one. No interest on your savings. Why don't you invest with one of our investment opportunities? Here's a list of them. Take your fucking pick. Some have more risk, some have less risk. You're going to lose your money. Don't fucking do it. Don't do it. If you own a house, invest in the house. Do it up. Build an extension if you can afford it. Get a nice driveway paved. Get some fucking travellers in. Give the pikies a ring. Mossy, how's it going? I want me driveway paved. And bring me some three-piece suites while you're at it. Invest it in your house or in your apartment if you own one. If you're mortgaged up to the tits. So that's what they're doing. Another thing they're doing all the time, and I think I spoke about this before anybody else. This... Why don't you release some equity from your home? This is another wonderful way of stealing the homes from people. People who have managed to navigate the greatest scam of all time, which is the mortgage. They managed to get through it, paying all that fucking interest, and they got to the end, and they don't have to give the bank any more money. They survived the scam. And of course, these days, and I talked about this years ago, why don't you release some equity in your house? Yeah. Unbelievable. It's fucking evil. But people don't see it. Or they don't want to see it, maybe. Release some equity. Yeah. Every one of those fucking banks should have been allowed to fail back in 2008. They should have been allowed to go out of business in an ideal world. And then the people could have built their own banks, credit unions. The people should have been bailed out, which the famous accountant Steve Keen told me on my programmes over the years. The people should have been bailed out and the banks should have been burned to the fucking ground for the criminality. But they didn't do anything to the banks. Nobody went to jail. The banks just carry on. They put the debt on the people. They bailed the banks out and then forced austerity on people to pay for the banks. You live in a lunatic asylum. Yeah. Here's the Express. Queen's sorrow over latest royal divorce. All the women are getting out of the royal family. Women are not stupid, see. The women in the royal family are beginning to realise that they are surrounded by a bunch of dirty, filthy, rotten fucking paedophiles. And they're seeing, I've no doubt this is true. And they're looking and they're going, Jesus Christ. This is not for me. I really believe it's got something to do with it. There's been a raft, two or three of them, and apparently there's more to come. Women running away from the royal family, and they're married to extended members of the royal family, running like rats leaving a fucking sinking ship. That's on the Daily Express today. Apparently Andrew's going to turn 60, and nobody wants to go to his birthday party. Maybe somebody will put a tweet out, like they do for children. Parents have done that in the past, haven't they? When they've got lonely children. They put tweets out, nobody wants to come to little Billy's birthday party. And then every fucking virtue signaler in England turns up. Next thing, Billy's got 500,000 people outside the fucking front door. Traumatising the kid. He was better off thinking that he had no friends. Now he's like, what the fuck is this, right? So... So Andrew is going to have a very quiet birthday. Oh, Andrew. When I was away last week, it turned up, didn't it, that Andrew didn't just have a friendship with one multimillionaire, billionaire paedophile, but another one turned up. They like their paedophiles, the royal family. They have a lot of time for them. A lot of time for paedophiles. They're not disgusted by people who have a fondness for raping children. Doesn't disgust them at all. Meet Rupert. Rupert did a bit of time in Broadmoor for fiddling with young boys. Did you, Rupert? Welcome, welcome, welcome. What was it like in Broadmoor, Rupert? What was it like? They're not disgusted by it. I'm not saying that if you meet somebody in the future through the course of your life and it transpires that the person did time for abusing children, I'm not saying that you try and find a baseball bat to bash their fucking brains in. No, but what I'm saying is that's, for the likes of you and me, it's kind of like, oh really? Get the fuck out of there. I don't want to be in your energy field. You know? Don't abuse any more children. Go and get on with your life. But I'm not going to have anything to do with you. But the royal family, oh, lovely. Welcome, welcome in. Welcome. Keep going back to it. How could they not know what Jimmy Savile was doing? A lot of coverage of a television presenter called Caroline Flack. This is a sad thing. It's a sad thing, this, really. This young woman apparently had a few problems. And apparently there was a bit of a domestic with her boyfriend. And the police were called. And it was very embarrassing for her. But the boyfriend stood by her. And he said, look, I don't want this to go any further. I love this woman. We're going to work it out. But amazingly, Amazingly, he was prevented from seeing her over Christmas. Who the fuck has the power to do that? What the fuck, like? I can't understand this. Can't imagine it. Can't imagine if the future Mrs. Allen lost her temper with me, and God knows I give her plenty of fucking reasons, and cracked me across the fucking head, and there was a big fucking row, and the neighbours called the police. The police came over. What the fuck is going on here? I'd be like, it's no big, you know, we'll sort it out. Go mind your own business. We'll sort it out amongst ourselves. Imagine then they decide to take a case and to tell me that while the case is ongoing, I can't have contact with the future Mrs. Allen. Well, this is what fucking happened. And apparently the police went after this. They were advised not to pursue it and went after it. And this woman had a fragile mind and took her own life. It's a terrible thing. I don't know the woman. I'm not going to express any sympathy. Don't know her family. It's a terrible fucking thing, right? Fuck the police. None of your business. If the boyfriend says, that's it, line under it, love the woman, we had a bit of a fucking Barney, we're going to sort it out, that's the end of it. But no, not the, all the police in this country. It's fucking police state. Oh, we're going to pursue. It got too much for the girl. I'm not blaming the police for her suicide, not at all. But was it in the public interest to use taxpayers' money to fund the prosecution of a woman? I'm not being fucking two-faced here. Nobody likes the idea of couples, men beating women, women beating men. It's not fucking good in an ideal world, right? And of course there's a problem. Because if it's a woman getting battered, even if it's only the once, and she's punched or thumped, it's more problematic. I know there's a bit of sexism there. It's more problematic if she says, I don't want to pursue it. Because you might tend to think, well, she's under fucking pressure. If the police were here today, they might say, ah, you big bally gammon, it's easy for you to fucking say that we shouldn't pursue it. Because the boyfriend said, look, I don't want to pursue it. I want to patch it up. If the shoe was on the other foot, gammon, they might say to me, you might be inclined to be more protective towards her and say, well, hang on a second, maybe she's under duress. So I don't know. But I kind of... tabloidy shit and celebrity shit doesn't affect me at all, but this bothered me, this news of this woman taking her own life. We'll leave it there. 10:08. The BBG, not the BBC. Got a news roundup for you today. One or two tunes. I'm easing myself back in this week because I've had a rotten time of it for the last 10 days. I really have. And I've got treatment that's going to be ongoing, but I'm not going to be missing any radio shows. I've done more than 300 live shows every year since 2014, despite the fact that last February I was very ill. For a couple of weeks, despite the fact that in 2018 I had a couple of weeks off because I was very ill. I've got lung problems. That's the way it is. But I live. 300 shows a year minimum. One guy on his own. I won't be missing any shows, but I've got some treatment coming. I've got blood tests and shit. They done some blood tests the other day. They got to do some more blood tests. We need some more blood. They're staggering these blood tests every fucking month. And anyway, we'll live. Now, a couple of quick things while we're here. Did you watch David Baddiel last night, Richie? I did. I watched David Baddiel on BBC Two. I watched it with great interest, of course. Why did you watch it with great interest? Because last year, the producers of Confronting Holocaust Denial with David Baddiel, it's fair to say, hounded your radio presenter into participating in said documentary. And my understanding at the time was that the documentary wasn't to be about Holocaust denial. And this is very interesting now. I was given the impression that the documentary was going to be about anti-Semitism and social media. Of course, Holocaust denial would play a part in that, but that it was going to be an examination of anti-Semitism being on the rise today. And I was led to believe that I would be interviewed by David Baddiel on the basis of the fact that I interviewed people in the past who have denied the Holocaust. Why would you do that? Was what I was told I would be asked. And I was also told that he would ask me about my questioning of the 6 million number. And I said, no problems. I'm happy to do it. And I said, by the way, I've never said that 6 million people weren't killed. Never said that. I've said that it's a massive number. And I don't know if it's an exact figure. And I've given reasons why I was doubtful about it. But I said, yeah, I'll talk to you about that. So long as I can bring my own camera crew with me. Because I know what you'll do. If you do use any part of our conversation, you might not do. When documentaries are made, they interview a lot of people. And if you're interviewed for a documentary, it doesn't give you any guarantee that you'll appear in it. You can be left on the cutting room floor, you know. So there's no guarantees anyway. But I said, yeah, look, I'll talk to you, but let me bring my own camera crew so that in the event you try and stitch me up, well, at least we'll have the entire interview. And we can put that out later on and people can get a more rounded view of what it is that I'm saying. And they said, no, we don't want you to bring your own camera crew. But they didn't let it go. They kept coming after me. They kept ringing me to say, come on, come on the program. And I said, yes, but my only demand is that we film it. I will agree never to release my film until yours is broadcast. But in the end, they gave up. So I watched it with interest. What would they do? And it was a bizarre programme. I don't know if you watched it last night on BBC Two. A bizarre programme. That was a real mess, really, in terms of the narrative. It was all over the place. It didn't know what it wanted to be. Confronting Holocaust denial was the screaming title of the programme. So you're thinking, right, it's going to be about Holocaust denial. But it wasn't really. Yes, they talked about the David Irving case. Yes, they mentioned Fred Leuchter. Yes, they went and met some guy in Ireland called Mulqueen, whom I've never heard of. But a lot of it was to do with nationalism and Eastern European countries and why some Eastern European countries are trying to maybe downplay the part that their country played in Nazi collaboration. So that's not Holocaust denial at all. It's kind of weird, really. And it made no sense. The future Mrs. Allen watched it with me. She doesn't necessarily share any of my opinions on anything. Very free-thinking woman. Very, very, very intelligent woman. She watched it without any interruption from me. I said, what did you think of that? And she said, it's a fucking mess, really. You know? She said, it's just a mess. Doesn't make any sense to me. The massive elephant in the room, of course, was the anti-Semitism allegations against the Labour Party. There was no mention of that. There was a very high-profile case in the UK last year around Alison Chablo. Is she Swiss-born, Alison? Comedian, wrote those songs, satirical songs that caused such great offence. I have no problems with people being offended by her songs. No mention of any of that. It was all very weird, I thought. I think there's a great film to be made. Maybe I'll make it. Maybe I will. About how people on the far right and on the far left see Jews and Jewish people. There's a great programme to be made there to look at the reasons why some people don't like Jews, the reasons why some people might blame Jews for everything, and the reasons why some people, and they're in a very tiny minority, might deny that Jews were killed and tortured in great numbers in Germany. There's a great film to be made there. An objective film. But there was no objectivity. It was just a shit show, really, by Baddiel. And at the end of it, I kind of came to the conclusion, if I'd have gone along to Salford Quays and met Baddiel, I'm pretty sure that any interview I gave Baddiel, it probably wouldn't have made the final edit. Largely because of what I would have said, which is, I will interview Holocaust deniers when it is appropriate to do so. When they are prominent figures, when they've got big followings, when they are being listened to. I'm very curious about how people reach their conclusions. That's all I would have said. And I would have said to Baddiel that a lot of people come to their conclusions, wrongly in some cases, because of their hatred of Israel. Which, and I always cause controversy when I say this, hatred of Israel is totally justifiable. In my opinion, not hatred of Israelis individually, or hatred of Jews, and they're not the same thing, funnily enough, but hatred of the state of Israel and how it came to be and what it does. But some people take that hatred of Israel and what Israel gets away with, and they make a leap to the whole Holocaust thing as a whole conspiracy, and then they make the leap to the Jews control the world. The Jews. And this guy Mulqueen in Ireland, who I never heard of until yesterday, he lives in Ennis in Clare, which is a nice place. He's made this leap to the Jews are controlling world events. They're not. And in my opinion, they're not. And why are you saying all this, Richie? Well, at the end of the film, Baddiel reached this conclusion, which I find to be troubling. Baddiel concludes that you can't just be wrong in believing that the Holocaust never happened. Baddiel says that's not a case of somebody just being wrong. If somebody says they don't believe the Holocaust happened, it must be because they believe the Jews are a bunch of filthy liars and are controlling world events. People just can't be wrong. And I find that troubling, because I don't agree with Baddiel there. Yes, there are people who say the Holocaust never happened because they do believe that the Jews are filthy animals and nefarious secret society controlling everything. Yes, there are. But there are a lot of people who wrongly say that nothing happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany. But they don't do that because of what Baddiel said. That they start from the outset, their starting point is Jews are goblin-like, demonic fucking liars. That was troubling to me, that, because of the implications of it. He went and he met some guy from Facebook. And again, he showed him some posts that had nothing to do with Holocaust denial. Nothing. But posts that were to do with the Jews being an evil group of people, an evil cabal. Baddiel wanted to know why these posts weren't taken down. And the Facebook guy said, because if you look at the following posts, the subsequent posts, you can see that the poster is being taken apart in debate. It's being debated. People see that, they go after it. That's why we leave it there. Other things we might take down, but these particular posts we left there. And Baddiel said, that isn't up for debate. It's not up for debate. It has to be deleted. It has to be labelled hate speech and it must be deleted, consigned to the dustbin. And presumably the person who posted it must be banned forever. Now, if you've been around as long as I have, you'll know that this isn't the way it used to be. We never said or believed that ideas or opinions were so bad that they had to be buried underground in a lockbox with 500 chains on it and 50 padlocks and nobody must ever hear those views. We never said that. Traditionally, we said, those are some strange fucking views. Let's have a debate. Let's see, can we get to the bottom of where you got that philosophy from? Nowadays, bury it, put a lock on it, make sure nobody ever sees it or hears it. But Deal even said in an article in the Sunday Telegraph that he felt traumatised by his meeting with the Irish Holocaust denier Mulqueen. Traumatised. How could you be traumatised by meeting a human being? Even if he is a fucking idiot. And I dwell on this because it's very serious. Because of where it's going in terms of your right to think whatever you want to think, however wrong it might be. Your right to say whatever it is you want to say, however fucking wrong you might be. It's important that you have the right to say what it is you want to say. That you have the right to make a fool of yourself. Right? Anyway. That's what I thought of this programme with Badil. There's some articles in it today. On it today, even in the papers. There's Badil. The comedian. I invited him on the radio show. I knew there was no fucking chance he'd come on. I know he had plenty to say about me, David Badil, in the run-up to making that programme. But now that I didn't participate, now that the programme has been made, Badil doesn't want to know. I went after Badil for changing his Twitter profile. Badil's Twitter profile used to read, David Badil, Jewish atheist. And I poked a bit of fun at him. And I said, that's an oxymoron. Can't be a Jewish atheist. That pissed him off royally. And when some of his followers said, that's racist, I said, no, it isn't. In fact, many Zionists, very prominent Zionists in the UK, have gone on TV recently to say, no, we're not a race. No, we're not. In fact, that's one of the sticks that the far right used to beat us up with. That's what the neo-Nazis used to do. They used to say that we were a race, that we were evil. We're not. And I said to Badil, you see, you can't have it fucking both ways. You can't be a Jewish atheist. Anyway, Badil changed his Twitter profile. Now it just says Jew. Fair enough. Anyway, I couldn't give a shit anymore, to be honest. I don't care. Fuck him. Not Badil. Fuck them all. Fuck every man and woman that wants to destroy, to deplatform, to minimalise, to marginalise, to ban, to lock up people who fucking say things that they don't like. Christ! I'm the first fucking guy, and I would be, if anybody is being physically intimidated because of who they are, if they're being assaulted or attacked, I don't give a fuck what you are. If you're Jewish, I'll stand alongside you. If you're a Muslim, I'll stand alongside you. Yes! But if somebody calls you names, or says that your grandfather never died in Germany, tough fucking shit, Paddy. You know your grandfather died in Germany. What fucking difference does it make? Fuck him! Get on with your life. Yeah. Mad times. 25 past 10. There's so much more to tell you, but I'm going to go. I've got loads of stuff. There's still no government in Ireland. Fine Gael and the outgoing Taoiseach, the merry Indian Leo Varadkar. Fucking bally Gammon. I know. I'm a child. There he is. He's urging Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil to get together and go into coalition. Although Fianna Fáil were adamant before the election. Adamant they were. They were Adam Ant. that they wouldn't get into bed with Sinn Féin. Apparently, Mary Lou McDonald, the president of Sinn Féin, is trying to form a minority government. Doesn't fucking matter. Sinn Féin will be worse than Fine Gael. Kills me to say that, as a lifelong Republican. Kills me. But it's true. Lisa Nander. She's vying to be the next Labour leader. Trans people, if I get in, you can do whatever you want. What's your platform? What are you running on, Lisa? I'm running for the trans. Yes. What about food banks? Unemployment? Fuck that. No, more important things. If I get in, self-identification for everybody. And if some kid gets arrested and says he's a woman, well, he's a woman. And if he has to go to prison, well, he should get to choose which prison he goes to, says Lisa Nander. This is Lisa Nander from Wicked. She's as thick as pig shit. Thick as fucking pig shit. And as I've said before, pig excrement is fairly thick. Lunatics. The world is fucking mad. Great article in the Telegraph about trans insanity from Celia Moore. Mad. What sort of world is it going to be in 25, 30 years, eh? Huh? I said, huh? Fucking hell. Jesus wept. He didn't so much as weep as rolled around on the ground kicking and screaming. Jesus Christ. The Labour Party has got a pledge card doing the ranks. A pledge card. You have to pledge not to be transphobic. And the pledge is calling on the Labour Party to expel anybody deemed to be transphobic. Now, if you don't agree with Lisa Nander, if you don't agree with her that men with big swinging penises should be allowed to identify as a woman if they feel like it and go to a woman's prison, well, then you might be transphobic. So you should be horsed out of the Labour Party. Fucking great. Marvellous. Jesus Christ. NHS trusts in the southwest are sending out a toolkit called, it's down at the bottom there, see it? Do you see it? Supporting trans people. It's a supporting trans people toolkit. Written by trans campaigners. Branded with NHS logos. That declares that anatomy is not always a good guide to determining a child's sex. Anatomy is not a good guide. Said it before and I'll say it again. Confused about which sex you are? I'm a boy. I'm a very fucking big boy, as it happens. 6 foot 6 and it's all in proportion, ladies. It's not even funny, is it? Supporting trans people toolkit. Anatomy is not always a good guide in determining a child's sex. No. No. Yes, you might see. Am I right? Is it going to come to violence, is it, in the end? Fucking hell. I'm sorry for not reading your comments, by the way. There's a lot to get into this morning. Was that a fucking text message there? Jesus. Something I forgot to do, but I'll do it. Keep that in mind for the rest of the day. The NHS is now listening to trans lunatics. It's unfair that, to say trans lunatics. Because we've met some transgender women, haven't we, on the radio programme. And this to say that they're lovely people would be to patronise them. They were lovely. They're also very, very clever, very intelligent. I'm thinking of Diane, of course. And not only Diane, what was that? Fionn, of course. We had Fionn on about a year ago, a trans woman. We had Diane on. Very, very smart, very intelligent. So I shouldn't say trans lunatics. These people are lunatics. It doesn't matter that they're transgender or not. But the fact that the NHS is going along with it. Yeah, get toolkits out into the community. Anatomy is no longer a reliable guide. Hey, listen. Before I go, I want to pay tribute to Mark Boyarsky. Now, I've known Mark for years. And I love the man. I've only ever met him the one time. There's never been a more decent, a more loving, a more generous human being than Mark Boyarsky. And Mark has been very generous lately. And he's helped out a good friend of mine that needed a bit of help. And I just want to mention that, that I'm well aware of it. And I'm not surprised. You see, for every fucking arsehole, for every fucker that does something bad, that does something hurtful or genuinely harmful, for every nasty bastard, there is a guy like Mark Boyarsky out there doing good things for people. And he did something very kind for a good friend of mine recently. And I won't forget it. There you are. Right, that's it. I'm gone until 5. I'll see you at 5. And we'll see how we get on at 5. The radio. The usual platforms. And until then, have a good day.